Okay, this is our final hour with Erin Brockovich, and we're going to take phone calls with her. So let your fingers do the dialing when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. We're with Erin Brockovich and your phone calls as well. Erin, in terms of people who come to you, and we're going to probably find that out now when we start taking phone calls, generally, what are they looking for? What are they seeking in terms of help?
Well, it depends what they're calling on. Sometimes they're calling just to report something, you know. Again, it's interesting. There's a particular drug out there that I have found interesting, Cymbalta, that I've had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people coming to me reporting the same problem. I think what's happened is people don't know where to report information, or they don't know who to trust to give it to. So they feel that they can provide information to me by an email. They may ask me questions, am I living in a safe area? They may be reporting that they have a known groundwater contamination and that they're noticing people are sick. So it's a variety of things, but they're just generally reporting something to me, environmentally, pharmaceutical, banking problems, that they think something needs to be done about, but they're contacting agencies and nobody seems to be giving them answers or helping them. So they just don't know where else to necessarily turn to see if they can get further information and or some help.
Okay. And your website, let's make sure we got it. It's Brockovich.com, right?
Right. Brockovich.com.
Okay. Super. Let's go to the phones. George in Los Angeles, get us started. Good morning, George.
Good morning. Erin, it's a real honor to meet you. We'll speak with you. You're a true American hero. Lots of people, they call themselves American because they own a Lee Greenwood album or something, but you actually take on greed and other ills in our country. So I applaud you for your work. My question to you is, I'm just curious, where do you stand politically, and what do you think about a lot of the politicians, particularly those on the right, who seem to constantly want to cut environmental standards, EPA standards, and those kinds of things? I'll take your answer off the air.
That's a great question, and I get asked that a lot, and I think about it a lot. Because of my line of work, most people think that I'm a Democratic Party, and interestingly enough, I was raised in a very, very Republican family who taught me about conservation and the greatness of taking care of our land and our water, and the Republican Party's kind of moved away from that. If you look at some of our Republican presidents, they put in some of the best laws we have. I mean, Teddy Roosevelt and protecting the national forest, and even Richard Nixon and introducing the Clean Water Act. And they're moving away from that. And so my frustration is, for me, I think clean water and our health shouldn't be a political issue. It's everybody's issue. And one side's gone too far one way, one side's gone too far the other. And I think that they need to look at clean water and clean air, and shouldn't be a Republican or a Democrat issue. It's an American issue. It's
That's
all
right.
of our issues.
Yeah, and eventually it's going to be a worldly issue, Erin.
Yes.
Huh? I think wars will be fought over water.
Oh, that is so coming. And I don't know that I'm necessarily that happy with our government right now, and I think that I think we're all just kind of waking up, you know, Superman's not coming. And I think for maybe a long time we've thought that that was some political party that could come save us. And I think that we're going to have to really begin to look to ourselves and to our neighbors again to start saving our own hides. And I haven't been that happy with our current administration. And I try not to get political one way or the other, but for Republicans to come in, and I've seen the argument about getting rid of the EPA, I'll be the first one to tell you, I think the EPA, for a lot of reasons, and there's very, very good people in that agencies, are failing. But to throw the baby out with the bathwater isn't going to be the solution either. And
no.
To just turn into a lawless society where, you know, hey, listen, if these chemicals can't harm you, then why do we have these regulations? Let's just have mayhem, throw every chemical known to man out there and see what happens, because it's not going to be a good outcome. So we've got to re-network and reconfigure some of these agencies who can do good and stop setting up roadblocks for them, because otherwise they're basically helpless. So it just can't be one way or the other. And I'm from a Republican family, and I don't like to get involved in the politics, and I'm getting pulled that way. But We got to pull together and stop being polarized and be one country again.
Gerard is in Bronx, New York. Go ahead, Gerard. Good morning to you.
Hi, George. How are you?
Good.
You have a great guest on tonight. Aaron, I'd like to ask you, what is your opinion on hydrofracking, and what do you think, how do you think, rather, it would affect our waterways if it's allowed to proceed in this nation?
Well, it is proceeding, and I have a lot of people that have come to me from the state of Texas, from the state of Oklahoma, North Dakota, parts of Colorado now, lots in Pennsylvania, upstate New York, where hydrofracking is occurring. There is a great deal of frustration, and people don't know where to turn. There are reports, and I know we all saw Gasland, and that's pretty effective. I mean, if you go to a water tap, you take a lighter to it, and your water catches on fire. I mean, I don't know what else we're supposed to say or do, except it's a process that communities I'm seeing, because they're becoming aware, they're not signing over rights, and they're getting to local councils that they're actually getting sometimes it prohibited from coming in. So it's a double-edged sword where I know that we need some energy, and I think that these energy companies, they are big enough. They have the technology, they have the manpower, and they have the money. Before they begin a process to assure the community of its safety and to implement every safety measure they have to protect and preserve the water as they're doing this process and the outcome and the community's health, they have to do it. Otherwise, they need to be held off until they can show us that they can do it safely. But it is a problem, and hydrofracking is already occurring.
Is the accountability done on the local level or the federal level with some of these companies?
I think, again, it's got to be done at a local level. You know, I've said earlier, I see America needs to come home. And we've got to scale it back down to what's happening right there at a local level. And I do see this working in a lot of communities where, you know, if there's something happening in your community, you need to go to city council meetings and your local meetings. You know how many times I've been there myself and there's one person there? And so here's all these elected local leaders in your community. They're your community members. And they think there's no problem because nobody's coming in there. But I've seen that change when that next community meeting happens for the city council and 2,000 people show up. Suddenly, it's like, wait a minute, maybe we better listen to these constituents who are our neighbors and what the problem is. And I see that happening slowly across the U.S. But yes, it's very important to be involved locally. You know what? We need to realize this is, it's our family. This is our home. This is our community. That is our neighbor. These are our children. This is our health. And if there's something going on in here that you can't assure us won't harm us, or you've been doing something that has been harming us, you got to band together and at a local level. Imagine if at every local level, in every community, in every state across the U.S. took some action. And, you know, I think that Occupy Wall Street kind of had the right idea, and I'm certainly in favor of people speaking up, but their message wasn't too clear, and it got kind of convoluted. And if they could have been more organized with a few community leaders coming in that was speaking for them all about what the cause was, it could have been a little more effective. But it does help to get involved with your community at a local level.
All right, let's go to Virginia Beach, Virginia. Aaron, you're on with Aaron. Go ahead.
Hi, Aaron.
Hi, Aaron.
Nice to meet you. I've been sitting here thinking how much you sound like me and how much I sound like you the whole night. And actually, my situation, about 2 years ago, I rented in a little community. It was technically private property, but there were over 100 people living there at the time and have been thousands living there before and hundreds since then. And people were calling me Aaron Brockovich because I was trying to do something about the water. I got the water tested and it was contaminated, highly contaminated with mostly, it was basically the well wasn't deep enough and it was sucking up septic water from the septic tanks that were all around the community and feeding it into the houses. And most of the people living there were really, still are, really low income, didn't have insurance. People were feeding their babies formula with this water. I wasn't drinking it, but I did shower in it every night because I was working down the street at a nursery.
Mm-hmm.
That I came home every night filthy dirty and had to shower in steaming hot septic water. And since then, I myself and many people that I kept in touch with have had these awful ongoing unknown health conditions, and we've spent thousands of dollars going to doctors trying to figure out what it is. The city couldn't do anything because it was private property, and we still don't know what's wrong with us. Open sores, a couple people have passed away. Open sores all over our body that just come out of nowhere. Like long, I want to say it's in our brains. It's in our lungs. It's in our respiratory system. And nobody can tell us what's wrong. And I've talked to lawyers in the area, and they've said, you know, if you can figure out what's wrong, then we can do something about it if you can prove that it came from there. But I can't figure out what's wrong. And I feel like I've let a lot of people down, and I don't know what to do next because people are dying. Babies, there was a baby there that was probably close to death. And I moved out just thanking God I got it out of there. But now I'm kind of regretting that I didn't pursue this because I've become, in the last 2 years, I feel like I've aged about 30 years. I'm 28, and I feel like I'm about 50 mm-hmm. or 60 at this point. And I know other people are the same way if they aren't dead yet.
We know there's a couple of things we could do, and I'm really glad. See, again, this is a situation that people might not have known about, and they should, because once they know, hopefully they can find a different source. But it starts with here we have a water well system that's off the grid, and having sewage that you're drinking and showering in, you know, there's bacteria, there's viruses, there's Legionnaires' disease that's in contaminated water.
Morgellons disease? Nobody knows what causes that, Aaron.
I know, and I've had a lot of emails about that as well. And this is something to look at. You can email me, and if there's anybody in the community, we could look further into it. I don't know if there's some industry there. I don't know exactly what you tested for. You can run a sweep for heavy metals and for bacteria, and that's what happens a lot of times with well water and water companies. They're not looking for specific contaminants, and we can run a sweep for chemicals because there might be something else in there that could be a fingerprint that could help us trace back where it might be coming from. But you don't. I wouldn't. I can't think of anybody that wants to drink sewer water. So please feel free to email me, or if you still know people in the community, to email me, and we'll take a look at it. And you did the right thing by speaking up, and it is really very frustrating because, see, suddenly it becomes hands-off. But don't just stop there. And that's one thing that I encourage people to do in communities. I call it the four L's. Use your logic, which is your common sense. We are in constant search of something that's supposed to be intellectually defined. And common sense is your heart and gut, which you used, and you found out there was something wrong. The loyalty will be to your neighbor, to your cause. You've got to have stick-to-itiveness. And that's that propensity to follow through. So continue to follow through. And ultimately, communities do what they're doing, as Aaron was just saying here, out of love and respect for yourself and your fellow mankind. And we've got to get back to that. So email me, and we can look a little further into it, especially if thousands of people are drinking sewer water. And if we could get you all together where we could collectively look and show, listen, there's 500 people with this condition. That's telling us something's wrong, and somebody's going to have to hear you.
Absolutely. And they can email you through your website,
yes.
Right? Okay, great. Let's go to Jeff in Mendocino, California. Hey, Jeff, go ahead.
Hi, George. Hey, I got a challenge for you. Nurse Joyce Riley and Aaron Brockovich on the same show.
That would be a great show.
No doubt. I'm sure you and Lisa could do it. Aaron, I used to work out in San Bernardino on their city water as far as revealing what was in it, and Norton Air Force Base, and
yes.
Out in Ward Valley on fighting them contaminating the groundwater out there. And, in fact, I think you know Frank Vera. He and I used to work
yes,
together, too.
I do.
Yeah, this is Jeff Wright, and it's been a long time.
Yes, how are you?
Doing okay. I moved to Northern California, and we've got some situations up here with power greed and excess, I mean PG&E, and the lines where they're running the various fuels, and we had that blowout in San Bruno last year, and
right.
A lot of people aren't aware of that problem. I believe that these leaks are also percolating through the ground and contaminating the groundwater along with the air, and then in that case, they blew up. So there's a lot of problems with these infrastructure things.
Yes.
And I'm very concerned about what we're having up here in the Mendocino-Fort Bragg area as far as a cancer cluster from brain tumors to other cancers. And it probably came from the Georgia-Pacific, mill out here and the smokestack where people breathe, that there seems
yes.
to be like an alley. And with what you're talking about tonight, I think it's really important that people know that you can't do it alone. And even though, Aaron, you're a guardian angel for us all, it's a lot of work, and people really need to contribute this information and help with this repository of information, so be it, so that this can be dealt with. When you did the movie and Julia Roberts portrayed you, you legitimized so many of us. They used to call us gadflies in San Bernardino and treat us like we were pests. I came up with an acronym, Governmental Activists Defending Fraudulent Local Yokels. But after the movie, they started calling us civic watchdogs and governmental activists, and it really helped all of us with what you've done and through the movie and Julia Roberts and Albert Finney's portrayals. I really want to thank you for all the efforts that you've made in making this world a better place, and you truly are a guardian angel. So thank you, and have a blessed Christmas.
Hey, super you too, and thank you, and that was so nice to hear, and you touched upon so many wonderful points. I mean, here you were down in San Bernardino, and this just goes to exactly the point that we're trying to talk about. And the map, we hope, becomes a repository of information where other people can access it and look at it. But you went from San Bernardino with contamination issues. You moved up to Mendocino, another area where you think you're going to have fresher, cleaner water. I'm very familiar with Georgia Pacific. You've brought up a great point about Fort Bragg and some of the military bases, which I am definitely starting to plot.
You know, Aaron, it's probably everywhere. Hold on. We're going to come right back with final phone calls with Aaron Brockovich on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, Rosemary Ellen Guiley joins us, co-author of our book, Talking to the Dead. We will be talking angels as we move along now with our Christmas programming beginning tomorrow night right here on Coast to Coast AM. When we come right back, let's take some final phone calls with Aaron Brockovich right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. So who would you like to play AJ if these hit the big screen?
I don't know. Gosh, that's the same question that, you know, Ed used to ask me. Who do you think should play you, Aaron, if they really make this movie? I'm like, I don't know. I guess I'd have to think about it. But, you know, somebody that... you know, I think is able to portray that that character that I think exists in all of us. So somebody spunky and somebody that's going to stick with it and isn't afraid to speak up, even in the face of everyone else saying that maybe you're nuts. I mean, and has some courage. I don't know. That's a great question. You stumped me with that one.
You got to have courage, and you do, Aaron. That's for sure. And this is kind of neat. Just, you know, after watching the movie back in 2000, here you are on our show tonight around the planet, and it's kind of cool.
Well, hey, I'm really glad to be here, and I've certainly enjoyed it. And, you know, it's going to take a village, and I've really listened to what some of the callers are saying. I mean, and that just can kind of give you a touch of something that I see every single day. But it will just take all of us getting united and back on a page and reprioritizing what it is that's important to us.
Wait till you see your emails tomorrow. You'll be flooded.
I should check in on them now, but I don't dare.
Let's go to the phones. Andy in Omaha, Nebraska. Go ahead, Andy.
Merry Christmas and God bless George Norrie and Aaron Brockovich.
Merry Christmas. God bless you. How are you?
Great. This is one of the most profound shows I've heard on Coast to Coast. I've listened for a long time. It makes me think of a couple things. One was the movie Centennial years ago. The last scene deals with the Platte River and water issues. I don't know if you saw that or recall seeing it, but it was very profound because the lights kind of start going out. But I guess my more immediate question is, interesting enough, just over the weekend, some family relatives of mine from a small rural community were basically notified that their water samples, like the standard is one sample a month that would be positive for coliforms.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, they had a violation of 3.
Okay.
And anyway, I just was kind of curious as to that issue, what it is. It's a small ag community, and I know there's a fertilizer plant in the town, too.
You know, I have had quite a few emails come to me from the Nebraska area. And, you know, one thing that we're trying to do, and we're going to work hard, and it's happening behind the scenes, is to develop my website more into almost a social network. Because when you have bacterias and coliforms and issues like that in water, I work with a lot of people who are water masters that sit on water boards that actually, and speaking of, have companies in Nebraska where they could get to those water agencies and find a way to quickly remedy the problem. And I think that that's something very important, because not everything's going to be a lawsuit, but there's a lot of things out there where we could stop and fix the problem. So again, if this is something that people email me, we'll look at, because there has been quite a few issues that are popping up in Nebraska, which concerns me. I'm from the Midwest, and again, this is a place where we really want to think we have clean, great water, and there's issues with fertilizer plants, a lot of issues with atrazine and water contamination starting to show itself in Nebraska. But something like that should be able to be fixed, and it should be fixed quickly by your municipal water system.
It should. Andy, thanks for your call. Let's go to Ann in Austin, Texas now. Hi, Ann. Go ahead.
Hi, Aaron. I applaud your work with the water issues. Water is a finite resource, and we have to protect it.
We do.
However, my issue is with a community called Targeted Individuals. Are you aware of those?
A community targeted individuals. So no, I'm not aware of what you're speaking about.
Yeah, explain that.
Targeted individuals are individuals that have been the recipients of direct energy weapons as well as covert harassment and surveillance. I am one of those.
Mm-hmm.
I've had several medical procedures, one of which was a back procedure, and as a result of that, I've been apparently implanted with some sort of tracking device, and this has severely hampered my quality of living.
And what are they after you for? What do they want with you?
That's the ultimate question. None of us know why we have become targeted individuals. Many people are the recipients of organized gang stalking. Others of us are physically tracked because of the medical devices within us, and the health effects that has had upon us is just unconscionable.
Well, maybe you're part of a guinea pig test. You know, a few years ago, Aaron, I would have said, nah, that's not happening. Nowadays, who knows?
Yeah, well, I'd have to agree with you. I mean, really, now these days, who knows? I have not heard of anything like this. I would be very interested, after you've brought it up, especially on this radio show, to see what other kind of comments or if something like this has happened to somebody else. I wished I knew more, or I could provide you more, but this is the first time I've even heard the term targeted individuals.
Aaron, do you speak around the country?
I do. I speak at a global level, yes. I do numerous lectures. I actually speak to corporations. I speak on environmental issues. I do a lot of motivational speaking on how to get communities collectively working together to find a solution. So that is probably, next to my environmental work, the second biggest thing that I do.
Let's go to Oakland, California. Hello, Robin. Thanks for holding so long.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to talk to both of you. George, I do want to say my deepest condolences to you and your dad, and I'll be thinking of you. I keep you in my prayers every day.
Thank you.
Aaron, you too. I hope that I can get everything that I need to say here consolidated and well said. In the last 10 years, Aaron, we have seen a enormous increase in fibromyalgia, also known as FMS.
Yes.
And it is becoming a pandemic. 10 times more women than men get it. Mm-hmm. 10 times more women than men. We are looking at somewhere between 7 and 20 million women in the United States who have it. It affects your ability to remember. It's known as fibro fog, somewhat like Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. Your muscles become from going from limber to lumber,
yes,
where they will just break or tear. They don't heal. I missed the part as I was speaking with Tom. I'm actually taking Cymbalta, which okay. they prescribe for the fibromyalgia. Unfortunately, I'm too ill now as it becomes progressively worse. And it used to be that it was called a trash can diagnosis. Mm-hmm. Now, if you don't know somebody who has it, or they don't know somebody who has it, you've got it, or somebody in the family has it. I felt that what you said, I'm very close to you in my heart, because I was in my teens in the late 60s and 70s when they had the DBCPs in the San Fernando, or the San Joaquin Valley.
Yes.
Unfortunately, I'm too ill to go and attend things. I'm also flat on my stomach as the SSI doctor broke my back in checking me for the fibromyalgia.
I'm sorry to hear that. And fibromyalgia is something that I see. I saw several cases of it. The experts did out in Hinckley, California. I know that doctors are beginning to look at that. And any correlation with environmental issues, I think that they've made some progress on lupus and tracking and identifying more lupus victims in and around contaminated areas. And I think that we're all going to find out, and I wouldn't be surprised at all. I mean, just so many contaminants in our environment are actually causing diseases that we haven't seen and we don't know. And I said earlier, you know, science is eventually going to catch up, and it is. And I've seen people in Hinckley, though, with it who have had some successful results through, you know, acupuncture and other forms of trying to heal and not just medicine. But it varies and it will be different for each individual. But it is something that's new to us, and a lot of people have it. And I do see a lot of it in and around the contaminated communities that I deal with. And again, I'm hoping that this is something that we can map so we can really begin to take a look at how many people are affected, and possibly, once we know, look for some way in medicine to cure it, alleviate symptoms, or make life comfortable for those that have that type of autoimmune disease.
We're talking with environmentalist Aaron Brockovich. Her latest work, Hot Water. Let's go to Keith, first-time caller in Littleton, Colorado. Go ahead, Keith. Good morning.
Good morning, George. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. A little cold here in Denver, but okay.
Well, you know, I'm surprised everybody's up at this hour.
Oh, you have
I'm
no idea.
Because of the work that I do. I'm a first-time caller. Listened to George for quite a while, but having you on really motivated me to call tonight.
Okay.
Because I understand exactly what you're going through about all these pollutants going into the water, because we are in the water cleaning business here.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay. I'm not going to use George's show for an advertising platform. But the things that we do, we've got equipment that just, it degrades any organic pollutant in the water. It's a wonderful product. And what I want to ask you just briefly, and then I'll get off of here, is you said your email address is at your Your website, Brockovich.com?
Yes. It's and my email is Aaron@Brockovich.com. And if you go to the website, it'll just say you can submit any question to me.
Okay, because here's my question. We're trying to get this information out. I mean, we're not, you know, just in business to make a buck. We're genuinely concerned about the environment. You know, we want clean water as much as anybody.
Right.
And these companies just that we get in touch with, they just seem to drag their feet. We send out emails. We make phone calls. We've even got a small oil spill right here in our backyard in Denver. And, you know, we've emailed the company and this, that, and the other, and we can't even get any response. You can't get hold of the human voice anymore.
Yeah, no, it's really difficult. And, you know, one thing that you could do is, and we're always happy to help, when I'm in communities where there's so many people on well water, they don't know what type of, you know, there are companies that can come out and put filtration systems on their wellhead and at least have some assurance that they're getting clean water into the house. And oftentimes these companies don't do that, and they should. I mean, I see a company like PG&E who has access to companies that can put reverse osmosis and systems out on these well heads, and that can at least provide safety for that consumer until the problem is fixed. And so they should be listening to companies like yours and allowing them to come in and work with them to get on the ground at these wells and apply some technology that could get them drinkable water.
Simple as that. You know, it's sometimes it sounds too simple, Aaron.
I know it is. And it seems to me it's easier for them. I just don't get this type of thinking. And that business has got to reassess, as I said, how it is they're doing business. And if they would do right by the consumer, I think that they would be shocked at the credibility, and they'd probably make more money as a company because they just did right by people. And so, again, this is where infrastructure is in peril, and there are companies and technology that can be applied and put people to work and start finding solutions to this problem instead of just ignoring it.
Time for just a few more calls here with Aaron Brockovich, Mike in Hancock, Wisconsin. Mike, thank you for holding. Go ahead.
Hey, George, Semper Fi. It's your Marine Corps buddy, LSD.
You too, Mike.
Amphibious, Vietnam, exposed to the Agent Orange, and I've got some problems with a small community here with hope the guys in the black suits don't come and get me tomorrow after I disclose all this information for Aaron. How
well,
you
let's
doing?
Hope not. Let's hope
let's
not.
Hope not. How are you?
Pretty good. You know, I was exposed to Agent Orange in this, during Vietnam. I was on an LST, amphibious vehicles, and I've talked to George. 2 years, George, 2 years, but I got to get off her fast because we're running out of time. But anyway, I was exposed to the chemical, and I'll play AJ, by the way, Aaron.
Pardon me?
A walking example if you're looking for a specimen.
AJ's a woman.
AJ's a female.
Oh, jeez, I can't do that. But, well, Robin Williams did, didn't he? Anyway.
Yeah, that's right, he did.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Here's what's happening. So I'm dealing with this porphyria cutanea tardae, which was, I go to the VA hospital, and this shows up in 91, and I got out in 1970. So now I live in a small community in Hancock, Wisconsin, and we do a lot of crop dusting here, a lot of spraying. I have well water.
Mm-hmm.
We've got people dropping here, and I came back here in 2002, and since 2002, I have seen so many people die here of cancer,
mm-hmm.
and it's just, it's unreal, and everybody just goes, oh, well, you know, that's too bad, they're pretty young, you know, and these are people 20, I'm 60, and these are people 20 years older than I am. Dying of cancer.
Nobody is connecting the dots, Mike, and that's one of the things that Aaron's trying to work on. Aaron, we've only got about a minute left. First of all, I want to thank you for coming on the program. You're an absolute delight.
Well, thank you, and you have been too, and I'll come back anytime. I enjoyed it very much. And I just have to say real quick, a woman, did you just lose your father?
Yeah, I did it 2 weeks ago.
I'm very sorry. I lost my father, the greatest mentor in my life ever, just about a year ago. He died January 7th. And so my Christmas last year was in the hospital with him, and it's really tough. So I just wanted to let you know I'm thinking of you there.
Thank you. And, you know, good luck. Anytime you need anything, you give us a call, all right?
I absolutely will, and I've enjoyed it. And I'd stay on the phone all night and take the calls. But I'm glad they called in, and you know, you just said it perfectly. We're working real hard to try to connect the dots.
You got that right. Aaron Brockovich and her books, Rock Bottom, and also the new one, Hot Water. Her website, Brockovich.com. It's linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. Don't forget tomorrow's program as we get into our Christmas week now for you with Rosemary Ellen Guiley as we talk about angels on this special week here on Coast to Coast AM. And, of course, it'll be a happy Hanukkah to those of us of our Jewish faith as well. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, John B. Wells, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.